I wish to thank you for coming this evening. I was asked to speak on two subjects by my authorities of Bhaktivedanta Manor. There are many very auspicious events that are worshipped on this day. One, it is Balaram Rasa Yatra. Shall I speak something on the subject? Narottam Das Thakur prays, Brajendra Nandana Je Sachi Shuta Hoilo Se Balarama Hoilo Nithai. That the son of Nanda Maharaj appeared as the son of Sachi Devi. And Balaramji appears as Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Nityananda Prabhu descended to this world with the exclusive mission of awakening love for Lord Chaitanya in everyone's heart. Why was he so eager to awaken people's love and faith in Lord Chaitanya? Because in this age of Kali, people are in very, Maharaj, please come. Let us all very enthusiastically welcome His Holiness Bhakti Vigyan Goswami Maharaj. Hare Krishna. He is the leading preacher and one of the great vibrant leaders of the whole mission of Srila Prabhupada in Russia. Do you all know the story about him? While we're on the subject of Nityananda's mercy, he was a PhD scientist at the number one university in all of Russia. And during the communist regime, he took interest in Krishna consciousness. Just some interest. And the communist government became so fearful that such a qualified person as this is taking interest in the Hare Krishna movement that they tried to stop him. So the KGB, they caught hold of him and brought him into one of their offices, and for an entire day they worked on him through all of their very scientific techniques. First they tried to make him feel very nice in their association. Then they started blaspheming our movement like anything. And when they saw that that wasn't working very well, they tried to wreak fear in his heart at what may happen if he pursues his interest. And Maharaj, being a very brilliant, intelligent person, came to the conclusion after analyzing the situation that if the KGB, the most powerful internal branch of the whole communist government, is so fearful of the Hare Krishna movement, it must be bona fide. It must be a very powerful and great movement. So he took even greater interest. And Krishna works through various ways to bring a person to the path of bhakti. Through the hearts of the KGBs, he helped convince Bhakti Vigyan Goswami Maharaj about the greatness of Prabhupada's mission. And he surrendered his life. And because he was of such a prominent character after surrendering his life, he actually had to escape from Russia and live for many years in Sweden. And when returning to Russia, naturally, because of his humility, his dedication, his renunciation, his vast knowledge of Prabhupada's books and the holy scriptures, he attracted so many people's hearts. He became one of the great leaders of Vaishnavism. And it was the devotees and all the leaders of Russia, they appealed to him to take sannyas, to increase his preaching, which he did as a humble service to the society. He was also the first person in the history of the international society who was not Prabhupada's disciple to become a full member of the GBC. He's the first Russian devotee in all of the Soviet Union to take sannyas. And even through the most difficult trials, tribulations, and heartbreaking tragedies that took place in this country over the years, fear, adventure, heartbreak, states where devotees were in depression, he always led them on the path of faith and happiness. And today, the Russian Yatra is definitely the largest and one of the most successful places in all the world for Krishna consciousness. And there are many great preachers who go there regularly. Indrajumana Maharaj, Prabha Vishnu Maharaj, Gopal Krishna Maharaj, previously Harikesh Prabhu and Kirti Raj Prabhu, Niranjan Maharaj, Bibi Govinda Maharaj, they have all fearlessly risked their lives to preach there. Bhakti Vigyan Goswami Maharaj is the homegrown saint of the Russian country. And we're so proud to have him here. Thank you, Maharaj. Perhaps you should give the lecture after this introduction. No, you distracted me from my mental speculation. So Lord Nityananda Prabhu understood that if even the lowest sinful people of this world simply have faith in Lord Chaitanya's mercy and accept the holy name and his mission, then they will naturally develop pure love for Sri Sri Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. Why? Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. The Chaitanya Charitamrita describes that the Supreme Absolute Truth is one. But that one Absolute Truth has separated into two forms, Radha and Krishna, for the sake of exchanging ecstatic love, to give each other the highest pleasure of rasa, prema. And therefore, in the spiritual world, the one Absolute Truth is eternally in the forms of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. And all living beings in the spiritual world are assisting them in their loving exchanges. Now, those two again have become one in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna, who is seeking to understand the limitless pleasure of the love of Srimati Radharani, and to share that pleasure with the people of this world through promoting the path of pure bhakti, in which the most important of all principles is the chanting of the holy names. So yes, this is Nityananda Prabhu's spirit, always in the service of Lord Gauranga. And similarly, in his form of Balaramji, he is always in the service of Lord Krishna. He expands himself as to facilitate the Lord's pastimes by becoming the abode of the Lord, the furniture of the Lord, the jewels of the Lord, the shoes of the Lord, the umbrella of the Lord. He expands himself in every way simply to assist the pleasurable pastimes of the Lord in the spiritual world. So after Krishna left Vrindavan, Balaramji was thinking in his heart of the pain of the Brijabasis in separation from Sri Gokulananda. Gokulananda means one who gives ultimate bliss to Gokul. But when he left Gokul, he gave the ultimate bliss of pain. How is that possible? In the material world, either you're happy or you're suffering. But on the spiritual level, when we're with Krishna, Sambhog, the Brijabasis were in the greatest spiritual happiness, which was ever increasing. When Krishna left with Akrura for Mathura and Dwarka, they were plunged in an ocean of separation. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami explained that the gopis of Vrindavan, after Krishna left, they cried for the rest of their lives. Now, have you ever heard of any such love in this world? Even in the best tragic movie, you know, somebody can only cry for 2 or 3 hours. But who cries for the rest of their lives? That was the gopis' love for Krishna. He was the all-in-all of their hearts. They forsook everything for him. And he left. But in that apparent suffering, they were actually experiencing the highest pleasure. Why? Because in their feelings of separation, they were so deeply absorbed in remembering Krishna, his name, his form, his quality, his pastimes. And because Krishna is none different than the remembrance of him and his name and his form, therefore they were actually uniting with Krishna in a most intimate and beautiful way. Therefore they were really not separate from Krishna. The separation just brought a deeper internal union with Krishna. And therefore, in the spiritual sense, the pain of separation is the greatest happiness. So Balaram was thinking that they are in such separation from Krishna. He had heard the news that they can't even eat, they can't even sleep. The cows, they can't even give milk to their calves hardly. The calves don't even want to drink the milk. They're just all waiting for Krishna to return with tears in their eyes. So Balaram, in great spirit of love for Krishna, took his blessings to go to Vrindavan. He went all alone, mounted his chariot, and traveled to Gokul. When he arrived, the Brijabasis were so overwhelmed with joy. Balaram has returned, the elder brother of Nandanandana. They all surrounded him. Nanda, Yashoda, how happy were they. They embraced Balaramji. And as did all of the elder gopas and gopis, embraced him with so much affection, asking, how is Vasudev and Devaki in Dwarka? And we're so happy to hear this good news about Kamsa, that evil demon's death. He caused so much problem and so much pain to the Yadus. They were asking so many questions, especially about Krishna. The Brajagopis surrounded Balaram and were asking, does Krishna ever remember us? He's happy without us, But we cannot be happy without him. We gave up our homes, our mothers, our fathers. Some of us gave up our children. We gave up our reputation in society. We gave up absolutely everything to wholeheartedly give our lives to Krishna. And now he has left us. Does he ever remember us? Does he ever think of us? Is he happy? Balaramji, feeling great love and compassion, read a message that Krishna had written for the gopis. As he read that message, he meditated on Krishna deep in his heart. And through this meditation, Krishna actually manifested in his mind and revealed himself in a very personal and extraordinary way through the message. It was as if Krishna was speaking directly himself. In fact, he was, from Balaram's heart. And this break brought great solace and joy to the gopis. They were satisfied. They heard the loving words of Krishna. How encouraging. How he's always remembering them. Balaramji, after satisfying the Braj gopis, decided to satisfy his own set of gopis. Srimad Bhagavatam describes when Krishna and Balaram were in Vrindavan together many years before on the night of Holi, which later on became Gaur Purnima. Krishna and Balaram each had their own set of gopis, and in the night they were singing beautiful songs together. Beautiful songs. And then Shankarachuda came and stole gopis away. And Krishna killed Shankarachuda, took the jewel, and placed it in the hands of Balaram, who later gave it to, that later came to Sri Radharani. But anyways, Balaram had his gopis. And he went to a very beautiful garden within the forest of Vrindavan. It was on the bank of the river Jamuna. That place is called Sri Ram Ghat. It was the full moon. On that full moon night, the flowers were blooming, the river was flowing, and Balaram was singing wonderful songs with gopis. And Varuna, feeling great affection, wanted to render some seva. So he sent his beloved daughter, Varuni, to assist Balaram. She appeared in the hollow of a tree as a nectarine, natural, intoxicating beverage. Now, please do not mistake this to be like the intoxications that people drink in this world. Because the intoxications of this world are in the mode of ignorance, and they put you in the mode of ignorance. But this is a celestial, natural, spiritual beverage that was especially meant to just give Balaramji more happiness. She was just rendering service. So this beverage was so sweet that it filled the entire forest with an incredible, intoxicating fragrance. And Balaram, just smelling it along with the gopis, became very, very, very happy. And he followed the fragrance to the tree and drank the Varuni and shared it with gopis. And they were wandering through the forest, singing, dancing, very nice. And then Balaramji ordered Jamuna, please bring the current of river to where I stand. But Jamuna Mai, she was thinking that this Balaram is intoxicated. What type of request is this? You were supposed to go to the river, not that the river comes to you. So she hesitated. But Balaramji, upon seeing that she wasn't immediately responding to his order, he became in a mood to chastise her. He said, "Oh, sinful, impudent river, you dare to disobey my order? Due to your impudence, I will now punish you with my plow and cut you into thousands of tiny little streams." As soon as he said those words, an expansion of Kalindi, goddess of Yamuna, appeared in her beautiful goddess form, with folded palms in great fear. She said, "Oh Balaram, oh Lord, please forgive me. I am so foolish, I am so ignorant, that I could not understand your supreme power. But now, by your mercy, I am aware of your all-powerful position. Please forgive me. I surrender my life wholeheartedly unto you. And you are always very kind to your devotees." So Balaramji became very happy. And then he played with gopis, wonderful leelas in waters of Yamuna. And when he came out, the goddess Kanti had a beautiful Vajayanti mala for him of forest flowers and a dress of blue. And he dressed very nicely with garlands and ornaments. And in this way, he enjoyed the forests of Vrindavan and gave the highest pleasure to the gopis by his association. In this way, Sri Balaramji spent 2 months, 2 months in Vrindavan, simply giving happiness to the Brijavasis. And those 2 months seemed to pass as if they were one night in their great joy. So on this night, we celebrate this beautiful pastime of Sri Balaram extending Krishna's causeless mercy upon the inhabitants of Vrindavan. And we should also understand how Sri Balaramji, whatever he does, everything he does is ultimately simply for the pleasure of Krishna. He is Dauji. He is the older brother. In fact, in Vrindavan, they just call him Dao. The older brother. In Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, it begins by describing this particular pastime, just so that people can understand the supreme glorious position of Lord Nityananda Prabhu as Balaramji. The enjoyer of the rasas of Braj, especially assisting Krishna and his devotees in all rasas, how he has descended to this world in such a humble state. Gauridas Prabhu asked me to speak something about Romaharshan Sutta. It's a different leela altogether. It took place in Naimasharanya, which is not far from Vrindavan, actually. Have you been to Naimasharanya, anyone? It's a wonderful place. But there was a disciple of Srila Vyasadeva named Romaharshan, and he was speaking Harikatha in Vyasasan. And there were so many sages, the sages of Naimasharanya. They were all eagerly sitting at his feet listening to him. Can you imagine how exalted he was? The sages of Naimasharanya are sitting at his feet asking him to speak. Balaram came and he sat and spoke. And Balaram understood. He's the brother of Krishna. And he's not standing up to greet me. This means he has no real humility in his heart. Amanina manadena, we should be respectful to others. If he's not respectful to others, if he doesn't have a humble heart, then he has no qualification to speak from the holy scriptures. Balaram wanted to teach the world a very strong message. He picked up a piece of kusha grass and touched him. And with that touch, his heart cracked, and Rama Harshan fell dead. Shri Balaram Ji Ki Jai. Now, you may think that that's quite serious. But ultimately, he got liberated. And the Brahmins, the sages, they were very much disturbed. They said, Balaramji, you know, we just gave him the benediction before he started speaking that he would have a long life. And now he's dead. So Balaram said, I could bring him back to life if you like. They said, no, you're the Supreme Lord. We can't tell you to do something like that. But he has a son. Balaramji said, he has a son whose name is Suta Goswami. And the father lives through the son. So that benediction that he would speak the Bhagavat and live long life, or actually speak the holy scriptures and live long life, was transferred to Suta Goswami. And then Balaram killed some nice demon named Balvala to atone for killing Rama Harshan. Actually, they said, whatever you do is perfect. Whatever you do is the ultimate good for whoever you do it to. There is no flaw. Whatever the Lord does is out of love and mercy. Whether he is blessing or punishment, it is always out of love and mercy. Now, Nityananda Prabhu, when he descends, he goes to blasphemers like Jagai and Madhai. They're millions of times more arrogant, plus they're violent and sinful. But Balaram, in the form of Nityananda Prabhu, takes that grass and doesn't kill. He puts it between his teeth as the ultimate sign of humility, and he falls at the feet of the sinners and begs them to take the name of Krishna, to accept the gift of love of God. The only price I asked, he said, is just your faith. Just take the name of Krishna. So on today's wonderful occasion of Balaram's Rasa Yatra, let us pray to Sri Balaramji, Sri Nityananda Prabhu, for their causeless mercy, that we can follow the path of River Jamuna and flow wherever the Supreme Lord wants us, in whatever way the Lord wants us to serve. Shruti Dharma Prabhu requested me to speak on the occasion of the appearance of Hanumanji. Yes? So I will speak something. Would you like to speak something, Maharaj, about Hanumanji before I begin? Can we give him a microphone? He likes to speak about Hanumanji. Huh? My reputation is not so good for speaking short classes. It's safer if you speak first. No, I ended already. I will speak more introduction about you. The Hanuman of Russia. He has accepted me as his servant. He has given me order and I will obey. But I will speak very briefly so that I will not disturb the flow of mercy that is ready to flow from his lotus-like mouth. Have any of you ever been to Kishkindha Kshetra? Please raise your hand. It is a beautiful place, one of the most incredible places in all of the universe. It is in the state of Karnataka in India. Kishkindha Kshetra is the birthplace of Hanuman. It's actually amazing. There's mountains that are shaped like practically needles. They're just thin mountains like this. They come to a point, and resting right on the point are gigantic boulders, huge rocks just balancing there. There's hundreds like that. Whenever we take devotees there, the first thing they say is, it looks like Hanuman and the monkeys were just playing with these boulders and putting them. How could they possibly get there? It's not that big cranes pick them up and put them up there. It's in the middle of nowhere, actually. It's really a supernatural place to see. And there's a river, the Tungabhadra River. Very, very beautiful river. And there's a lake called Pampa Sarovar, which is celebrated for its beauty in Ramayana of Valmiki Muni. And there's a mountain. And that mountain on the top is the birthplace of Hanuman. It is called Anjana Parvat. Anjana was the queen of the monkey race in that area. Previously, she was actually a heavenly goddess who somehow or other made a mistake and took birth in a monkey race, but actually she didn't have a monkey body. She was actually a very, very beautiful woman, but she was the queen of the monkey race. And her father was Keshadi Raj. And from them, Hanumanji was born on top of that mountain. There are various versions of the story described in different Puranas, but it is explained that Hanumanji is an avatar of both Lord Shiva and the son of Vayu. I won't get into that story because then there will not be time for Maharaj to speak. Well, when Hanuman was very small, he was very mischievous. He would do naughty things. He would eat sages' scriptures. When they would be meditating, he would jump on their back and pull their matted hair. When they were in the river, Tungabhadra, taking their sacred baths, chanting their Gayatri mantra, he would just spit water in their face. So they didn't know what to do. Do you know why he was so naughty? Should I tell? Because when he was a little baby, he saw the sun. And he wasn't yet very highly educated as a baby. He thought the sun was a piece of fruit. So being the son of Vayu, he jumped to eat the sun. And the sun saw that he was actually jumping right at him. So Surya took shelter of Indra and said, please save me. This baby monkey is going to eat me. So Indra took a thunderbolt and hit him right in the chin. And the little baby fell to the ground unconscious. So Vayu came down and picked up little Anjana Sutta and went into a cave with him and decided to punish the devatas by withdrawing the air. Because Vayu is the lord of the air. So now the devatas could not breathe. So they approached Brahma and said, what to do? He said, well, you look what you did. You have to give this child all the best of your benedictions. So Brahma came down with them, and Brahma sprinkled the child with some sanctified water from his kamandalu. And the child became known as Hanuman from that day. And all of the devatas gave such blessings to Hanumanji. Surya said, because he was very learned, he said, I will teach you all of the Vedas. And Indra said, every one of your limbs will be stronger and more powerful than my thunderbolt. And Yaswini Kumar said, you will be the topmost physician. And Brihaspati said, you will be the greatest scholar. And in this way, Brahma said that no one will have the power to defeat you. So he's getting so many benedictions. From Vishwakarma, he gave the benediction that he would be a great architect. He was just had all the powers of all the demigods. Now, when you're a little baby and you have all of those benedictions, who can stop you from doing anything? So he was really mischievous. As he grew older, he was getting more and more and more mischievous. And the sages went to Anjana and said, what are we going to do with your son? She said, I don't know. He doesn't listen to anything. He has all these benedictions. So Anjana Devi requested the sages, please give the benediction to my son that he will forget all the benedictions the demigods gave him. Unless somebody reminds him. So then Hanumanji became very well behaved. He would bring flowers to them for their puja and bring their scriptures to them and massage them, and everyone was very happy. So Hanumanji from his very birth was a very, very great devotee of Ram. In his heart of hearts, Ram was his life, his soul, his everything. Now, in a place called Panchavati, which is today Nasik, one of the four places of Kumbh Mela. Should I end here?
No.
But Krishna is appearing. I don't want to be like Roma Harshan Sutta. So. In Nasik, it is called Nasik because Nas means nose and Sik means to cut. Because that is the place Lakshman cut the nose of Suparnaka. But the ancient name of that area is Panchavati, because there were five very, very special banyan trees. And it was there that Ravana, in the disguise of a great sage, stole Sita. At least he thought he stole Sita. As Sita was being taken from Panchavati on Ravana's chariot, which was pulled by gigantic screaming asses, Jatayu fought against Ravana to try to save Sita, but he was defeated. Ravana was flying over. He had the mystic power. He could fly in the sky. He could change his form. He was a very empowered being. He got benedictions from Brahma and Shiva. They flew over Kishkindha Kshetra en route to Sri Lanka. And there Sita from the sky saw a group of monkeys, Sugriva, Hanuman, and some of the others. And she was crying out, O Ram, O Ram, O Ram. And she had some jewels, very precious jewels, that were given to her by Anasuya, the wife of Atri Muni, while they were living on the banks of the Mandakini Ganga on the mountain of Chitrakoot. She threw those jewels down in yogis, and Sugriva put it in a cave. Later on, Ram was searching for Sita. In the forest, they met Kabanda, who was a huge demon, who had just a gigantic body with no head, but he had an eye, one eye, and a mouth in the center of his body. Yes? And he was as big as a mountain, and he had huge arms. And that's a beautiful story. But ultimately, Ram and Lakshman cut off his arms, and he was laying there, and he said, just burn my body, and I will tell you very important information. And he appeared in his celestial form and explained that not far from here is a beautiful place called Pampa Sarovar. Magnificent lake of nectarine crystal clear waters with wonderful lotus flowers, all auspicious trees, sweet singing of birds. You go there because near Pampa Sarovar is the great king Sugriva with his minister Hanuman. If you make allies with them, they will help you to find Sita. So Ram and Lakshman came to Pampa Sarovar. It was there that they met Shabari. Yes, Shabari Mata. None of you have been to Pampa Sarovar. We went there many times. And there is the cave of Shabari. It's a very incredible cave. You have to crawl to get in. And you can't walk. You can sit nicely, but you cannot stand up. You have to crawl and then sit. And it's such a big cave that we brought about 400 people into this cave. But when you go deep into the cave, you can't see anything outside. It's just pitch dark. And we decided to have Ram Katha there. And we started speaking about Ram, and it was complete dark. It was also just after sunset. You couldn't see anything. But that was very nice, because then you have to see through your ears, which is actually what you're supposed to do anyway. Sometimes when you can see, you're distracted by this person or that person or whatever is around. But when it's pitch dark and there's a katha going, then if you're really sincere, your entire sensual perception is just on the sound vibration, because there's nothing else. Except I heard a choir of snoring. Because in a room like this, you try to stay awake for one of two reasons. Either because you really want to hear the katha, or because you don't want to be to be seen by the society of Vaishnavas as sleeping in class. But when it's pitch dark, nobody knows who's snoring. So there wasn't much struggle to stay awake. But Hanumanji and Shabari and Ram came to the rescue. Should I tell you how? All of a sudden, everyone in the room, all over their bodies, was getting bit by insects. There were just these tiny little insects, not like those bites, just like. And everyone's like. So we stayed in there for about 2 hours, and nobody fell asleep. But it was very nice, and nobody, because nobody could see the insects. And I said, don't kill them, because we don't know, you know, this is a holy place. We don't know who they are. So many little bites. And it was an experience that they will never forget. We will never forget for the rest of our lives. But that is the place of Shabari, who was the disciple of Matunga Rishi. And he was living near the Rishyamukha mountain, yes? And Matunga Rishi actually had many, many disciples, and they performed great austerity and bhakti. And they all decided to go back to Godhead. But her guru told Shabari that you should stay here, and you wait here until Ram comes. And when you render service to him, he will purify you completely and send you to the spiritual world. So she was there for years and years and years. And her constant meditation was simply waiting for Ram in separation. And when he finally came, she was just an emaciated ascetic. And she surrendered her life. She offered these nice fruits. And the story goes that sometimes these fruits are sweet and sometimes bitter. So she was so simple. She ate them with her mouth and then gave them to... If there was a bitter fruit, she threw it away. And if it was sweet, she offered it to Ram. And Ram took it very happily. That is the power of devotion. Where there is true love, it is beyond the rules and regulations. So Ramchandra sent Shabari on that very day to Vaikuntha, to his eternal abode. Meanwhile, Sugriva heard from his spies that there's two very, very beautiful, powerful princes who are dressed like ascetics who are at Pampasarovar. So Sugriva called for his chief minister, Hanuman, said, disguise yourself, go down and see them. So Hanuman disguised himself like a Brahmin, and he approached Ram and Lakshman. They asked, who are you? Actually, Lakshman said, my name is Lakshman, and this is my brother Ram, the son of Dasarath. And he explained something about the exile and their purpose. And as soon as Hanuman heard this, he immediately resumed his original form and fell at the lotus feet of Ram and surrendered. He said, how is it, my lord, how is it that I've been worshipping you all my life, and you came before me, and I didn't even recognize you. As you approach me, Krishna says, I reveal myself accordingly. As you surrender to me, I reveal myself accordingly. So Ramchandra told Hanumanji, because you were not appearing to me in an open, honest way as you are, therefore I did not reveal myself to you. But when you revealed who you were, then I revealed to you, myself to you. So this is an important message. The false ego, everyone is trying to be someone that they are not. We're trying to be British or Scotch or Indian, or Russian. Or we're trying to be Swedish, or German, or American. Or we're trying to be men, or women, or scholars, or simple workers. We're identifying with all of these temporary designations. Sarvopadiva nirmuktam tatparet nema niyamana. Rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhaktiruchyate. We must transcend or purify our egos from these designations. When we start thinking, I am this body and all things in relation to body is mine, then we become endlessly bound in the network of karma. And we forget our true identity. So as long as we're attached to any of these temporary, superficial, artificial designations, Krishna will not reveal himself as he is, because we're not honest with him. You can be a pujari and offering the puja to the Lord. But if we have some ego, if we have some bad feelings toward others, then we're not going to see Krishna on the altar, because he's not going to reveal himself to us. Because we're attached to these egoistic designations. So to the degree we become free from this false ego, to that degree we can actually realize Krishna. Therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prayed, Naham vipronacha narapatira napi vaisya na shudra. I'm not a Brahman Kshatriya Vaishya Shudra. I'm not a Grihastha Brahmachari Vanaprastha or Sannyas. My only true identity is Gopi Bharatur Padakamalayor Das 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 Anudas. I am the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. When we identify in this way, that is our actual identity. To the degree we humble ourselves in the spirit of service, to that degree we are approaching Krishna honestly. Because anything other than the eternal insignificant service is simply dishonest. Lord Chaitanya said, Krishna, I'm suffering in this world. Just place me as an atomic particle of dust in your lotus feet. That is his aspiration. So when we identify with this identity of being a pure, humble servant, then Krishna reveals himself as he is. Hanuman surrendered. My life is at your service. How can I serve you? Take us to your master, Sugriva. Hanuman said, come with me. And he had them both jump on his body, and he just jumped over to where Sugriva was. He became their carrier. And when the story was explained, Sugriva accepted that myself, Hanuman, and all of our vast army of monkeys will be completely at your service to rescue Sita. But just at that time, the monsoon rains began. So they decided, after the rains, we will begin the search. So in Kishkindha Kshetra, there is a mountain. And on that mountain, there is a cave. It is called Malyavanta. And that is where Ram resided for the 4 months. It's a beautiful place. There's a deity of Ram there. Black deity. Stone. Big deity. And in one hand, he's holding a japa mala. And in the other hand, he's touching his heart. Because 24 hours a day in that cave for 4 months, he was chanting the names of Sita and meditating upon her with the love of his heart. In the end, there was some temporary confusion. Because we know the story, Ram slayed Bali in order to make Sugriva king. All the monkeys went out searching for Sita. Thousands of them were going in all the four directions. But Ram gave his own ring to Hanuman. He said, I have confidence that you will find her. So they searched and searched and searched. Many wonderful events took place. But ultimately they met the brother, the elder brother of Jatayu, whose name was Sampati. And he was very old. And he told them with his eyes, he could see the city of Lanka and Sita was there, captured by the great Rakshasa, Ravana. So how to get to Lanka? It was 800 miles over the, that's 100 yojanas, over the Indian Ocean. So the various monkey soldiers were volunteering to what extent they could reach Sri Lanka. One said, I could jump 10 yojanas, but that's not enough. Another said, I can jump 20 yojanas, but that's not enough. I could jump 30 yojanas. One said, I can jump 90 yojanas. And finally, Angada, the son of Bali, he said, I could jump 100 yojanas, but I won't be able to get back. So there was a dilemma. Nobody could go there and come back. And who spoke up next? Do you remember? You know the story. Yamlavan said, Hanuman, what are you doing not speaking? You don't remember your own powers. You can easily jump these 100 yojanas. And Hanuman said, yeah, yes, yes. Jambavan said, actually, I could jump. When Vamana Dev was covering the whole universe with his foot, I was circumambulating it the whole time. But now I'm very old. I can't do that anymore. But Hanuman, you could do it. And Hanuman said, yes, I will do it. Because he forgot his powers. He was just sitting humbly watching everybody else speak until he was reminded. And Hanumanji went on top of a mountain. Mandara Mountain, was it? Mahendra Mountain. And he roared. He told the monkeys that I will go and I will perform the work of Sri Ram and rescue Sita. He expanded himself to a large size and then leaped. As he leaped, there was so much pressure from his feet on the mountain that all the snakes in the mountain started vomiting. That's power. And all the herbs and minerals within the mountain just started oozing outside from the pressure of his feet. And as he was flying in the air, jumping, there was such a vast vacuum of wind he created that the trees of the mountain just were uprooted and followed Hanuman. He was crossing the ocean. At that time, the ocean wanted to assist him, seeing him as the great messenger of Sri Ram. So there was a mountain named Mainda. That was a golden mountain that was underneath the surface of the ocean. That vast, beautiful, heavenly golden mountain came out from the ocean, emerged from the ocean. And a goddess spoke, the goddess of the mountain spoke to Hanuman that we have appeared to offer you rest in your long 800 mile journey across the ocean, because he was doing it in one jump. Hanumanji wanted to show the world his determination in his service to the Lord. Krishna explains in Gita, Vyabhashayatmaka budhir ekeha kudunandana bahushaka hinantascha budhayo vyabhashayanam, that those who are on this path, they are resolute in purpose. Their aim is one. The minds of those who are irresolute is many-branched. And so Krishna consciousness requires determination. I remember I was present when a devotee asked Prabhupada, what if I do not have determination? Prabhupada said, then you are an animal. Hare Krishna. Determination is there. It's just a question of using it. Ananyas chintayantamam yejana paryupashate tesha nityabha yoktanam yogakshemam bahamyaham. If we surrender to Krishna, he gives us what, he protects what we have, and he carries what we lack. So this dhrita prata, this determination, is very, very important. That is why at the time of initiation we take vows. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating, to chant at least 16 rounds every day, and also to chant, really trying to guard against the offenses. And one of the offenses is to disobey the order of Guru. So when you take initiation, you're really surrendering your life. Why take such vows? It's more comfortable not to do that, isn't it? Because when you take vows, it not only connects us to the parampara in a formal way, the flow of their mercy, but also it gives us the sense of very serious determination. And that determination is absolutely required to overcome the obstacles that Maya will definitely put on our path. So many obstacles will come, so many temptations, so many difficulties. We must be determined. We must move forward always. And that determination, by practicing determination, it gives us life. It makes Krishna consciousness exciting and fulfilling. But if we just give in to the temptations of Maya, or give in to the weaknesses of our mind and senses, then we don't taste the reciprocation of surrender. And therefore Krishna consciousness can become boring. We should be determined to come to hear about Krishna, determined to read the books, determined to chant the holy names, determined to live a moral and ethical life, determined to follow our vows. That determination gives us power and life, and it makes Krishna consciousness so exciting and sweet, especially if it is in the association of like-minded devotees. So this was Hanumanji's greatness. He is master of Dasyaras. There are 9 processes of devotional service, and there is a particular personality that personifies how to perfect through following that process. Parikshit from hearing, Shukadev Goswami from chanting, Prahlad perfected his life by simply remembering, Hanuman by carrying out the order of the Lord as his servant. So yes, he was moving forward, and Mahinda Mountain came forward and said, please take some rest, Hanumanji. It's a long, arduous journey. And Hanuman said, I cannot rest for a moment. I must find Sita. I cannot waste time. Wasting time is one of the greatest tragedies in life. Because how valuable is time? Every moment is gone as soon as it appears. Yes, time is such a mysterious energy of the Lord. So mysterious. Can you hold on to time? As soon as it appears, it's gone, right? A moment. A moment doesn't last. And with that moment, our lifespan, the lifespan of the entire universal creation, is passing toward death, destruction. So how we utilize our time is what will determine our success or failure in life. So Hanumanji wanted to teach that we should not waste any moments. Said, I do not have time for rest. Sometimes I feel like that when I'm in the UK. but in a different spirit. If there was time, I would rest. But Hanuman, there was, he just had determination. And to honor the loving offering of Mahendra, he let him go. He touched mountain with his hand just to accept the spirit of her offering and said some sweet words and carried on. As he was flying over the sea, the mother of the Nagas, who remembers her name, Suras, mother of Nagas, was called by the Devatas to test the power of Hanumanji. So she assumed the form of a Rakshasi and just came out of the ocean. And she had a big mouth. And she came to devour Hanuman. And Hanuman was very much disturbed. Not disturbed, but he was, this big Mataji was coming to eat him. And she said, "Who are you?" And he said, "I am Hanuman, the servant of Ram." And she said, I have received a benediction from Lord Brahma that no one can pass my path without being eaten by me. So today I am going to devour you." And Hanuman was actually so respectful and humble. He said, "Just let me go to deliver my Ram's message to Sita, then I'll come back and you can devour me." She said, "You impudent monkey. No one can pass me. I will devour you now." And then she lunged to Hanuman with a big mouth. And Hanuman expanded his body to 10 yojanas. Then she expanded, 10 miles. Yes, yojanas, 10 yojanas. Then she expanded her body to 20 yojanas. Then he expanded his body to 30 yojanas, and she expanded 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90. She expanded her mouth to 100 yojanas, big, wide. She was a lady with a big mouth. So Hanuman... within a second, Hanuman just instantly became the size of the tip of a thumb and ran right into her mouth and ran around inside for some time and then ran out. And then he assumed his big size and said, "You have fulfilled the benediction of Ram, Brahma. You have eaten me, and now I have come out." And then she assumed her original form as Surasa, a beautiful celestial lady, and said, "Hanuman, you are very, very clever." Said, "I bless you that you will find Sita, and you will deliver the message of Ram, and your mission will be a success. Now go." Now this is an important lesson. Because in this material world, false ego is a very, very great impediment. It is one of the anartas that drag us away from Krishna. Everyone wants to be bigger, 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 bigger. Yes? Big position. Big influence. But how to defeat that demonic propensity? By becoming like Hanuman, by accepting a very insignificant, humble position, then we could conquer over the false ego. The false ego is always longing to become greater and greater and greater and greater, up to the point where we can become God. But Hanuman taught us how to conquer that demoniac tendency by taking a very humble position of servant. Then we can escape the jaws of the false ego. Sri Hanumanji ki jai. As he was flying overhead, suddenly he found he was stationary in the air and he could not move. He thought that he just lost all his powers. He couldn't go anywhere. Then he looked down and he saw that someone was holding on to his shadow. And this whoever it was had the mystic power where they could grab your shadow and control your body. Then a massive Rakshasi of the name Simika, she appeared from the waters. She was really ugly. It was unseeable. Giant teeth, huge mouth, scraggly hair. She was a blood-sucking, man-eating Rakshasi. And she was really angry. And she just jumped at Hanumanji. And Hanumanji made himself very, very big. And then she made herself bigger. And then he made himself bigger, and she made her mouth bigger, and his body became bigger, and her mouth became bigger, and his body became bigger, and her mouth became bigger. And then Hanuman, with his very good intelligence, again became the size of thumb. And he just jumped right into her mouth and went right down her throat. And then he was searching around her body. And he found her heart. Then he made himself a little bigger and took his claws and ripped her heart to pieces. Then he jumped right out of her mouth. And as he was coming out of the mouth, blood followed close behind him. And she screamed and fell into the ocean, dead. Hanumanji ki. Should I continue?
Yes.
You like these stories? Very good. Ultimately, he arrived at Trikuta Mountain in Sri Lanka. And there, he was looking over the walls, gigantic golden walls. And he saw magnificent palaces, 5 stories, 7 stories high. He was wondering, such a formidable city, it would be very, very difficult to fight a war here. He was thinking, besides myself, Angana, and Sugriva, none of the other monkey soldiers could even get here across the ocean to help Ram and Lakshman. He decided to go in and carefully examine the entire city of Sri Lanka so he could tell Ram exactly for military purposes and find Sita to deliver the message of Ram. So when he came to the gate, there was another lady who was standing guard. She was also a Rakshasi lady. And she looked at Hanuman and said, "Who are you?" He said, "I don't have to tell you who I am." "Who are you?" He said, "My name is Lankini. I am the predominating deity of Sri Lanka, and I guard this city on behalf of Ravana. And nobody can pass me without my permission. And you, oh foolish, insignificant monkey, do not have my position, my permission. Sri Lanka is the kingdom of the greatest Rakshasas, not insignificant monkeys like you. go home. Hanuman said, I am Hanuman. I am the representative of Ram. You must give me entrance. So she was so angry, she slapped Hanuman with her hand in his face. So Hanuman punched her with his fist. And she fell to the ground in great pain. And then she got up and said, please, please, I surrender you. Please spare my life. She said, long ago, Lord Brahma told me that I had the benediction that no one could cross me and enter Lanka without my permission. But he also told me, someday a monkey will come and punch you down. And when you're defeated by the punch of that monkey, you should know that he is the representative of Ram, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that will be the time when the destruction of Ravana, the whole Rakshasa dynasty, will be imminent. She said, thank you, Hanumanji. Go into Sri Lanka with all my blessings and do the work of the Lord. So Hanuman assumed a small form, about cat's eyes form, and he was just looking. Actually, he always wanted to do extra service. His service was simply to deliver message to Sita Devi, give the ring and pacify her. But he wanted to do more. He wanted to see every aspect of Sri Lanka so he could report it to Ramchandra and Sugriva, so that when they fought the battle, they would have strategic understanding of how the city was laid out. What is its strengths? What is its weaknesses? While he was searching Sri Lanka, he came to the palace of Ravana, where he saw this gigantic, 10-headed, 20-armed demon laying in a bed of crystal, beautiful women, wives of Brahmins that he kidnapped, celestial ladies. They were all just laying all around his bed in beautiful garments, sleeping with him. And the most beautiful amongst all of them was his principal wife, Mandodari. He saw Pushpak, the airplane of Kuvera, that was stolen by Ravana, who was his brother, half-brother. When he looked at Ravana, he was thinking that so powerful, such opulence he has, if he was only a devotee, such immense service this person could do if he was just a devotee, but because he's envious and proud, all of those qualities are simply causing tears of suffering to the world. He was thinking of challenging Ravana right then and killing him. But then he decided, this is the work of Ram. So he searched and searched and searched, examined all of Sri Lanka, and he came to a grove of Ashoka trees. In that beautiful garden, which was Ravana's favorite, he saw a temple. And in that temple was sitting the most beautiful person he had ever seen. She was emaciated, but she had beautiful lotus-like eyes, golden complexion. She had a yellow sari. She was crying tears incessantly, crying the names of Ram. He understood that this was Sita. Sita was in such a state. The night was just ending. And he saw Ravana coming with his ministers and some other Rakshashis. Hanuman hid behind the leaves watching. And Ravana began by praising Sita with such sweet words of passion. You are so beautiful, and I love you so dearly. Accept me as your husband and let us enjoy. And Sita just blasted against him. Said, if you try to touch me, you will die at the hands of Ram. And then Ravana became very angry and said, if by the end of this year you do not surrender to me, I will drink your blood and eat your flesh as my meal. And then he told the Rakshasis to harass her until she surrendered. And they were harassing her like anything. And Hanuman was watching. And when they left Sita alone, she was simply crying out the names of Ram in such intense feelings of separation. And Hanuman appeared before her. First he started singing the glories of Sri Ramchandra, which she had not heard anyone sing in Lanka. And she was so pleased and pleased to hear the glories of Ram. Who is this? Who is this who is singing? Who is? And then Hanuman appeared. He jumped out of the bushes. He said, it is me, Hanuman. The servant of Ram. And she thought maybe he was a Rakshasa. Because the Rakshasas could take any forms. But as he sang the glories of Ram with such devotion, her heart melted. She was pacified. And Hanuman told Sita that Ram is now in Kishkindakshetra. And soon he, Lakshman, Sugriva, and all of the Vanara army of monkeys will come here to fight Ravana in a war, destroy the Rakshasa dynasty, and you will again be united with Ram. He is coming very, very soon. Please be patient. Sita bestowed infinite blessings on Hanuman for risking his life in this way to give her this message, which pacified her heart, which was grieving in separation. Then Hanuman gave Sita Ram's ring. When she received that ring, it was as if Ram came to her personally. She pressed it to her eyes and to her heart and wept in joy. Hanuman said, just jump on my back and I'll take you to Ram today, Sita. And Sita said, no, I have taken a vow of chastity to Ram. I cannot touch any other man. And besides that, it will be Ram's great pleasure to kill Ravana. So after they spoke so many words of love, Hanuman as the servant and Sita as the supreme worshipable goddess of his heart, Hanuman decided to do some extra service. He started tearing apart the garden, just uprooting trees and throwing them and ripping them apart and breaking them and making all kinds of loud noises. And the report came to Ravana that your favorite place in all of Sri Lanka, the Ashoka Grove Garden, is being destroyed by a monkey. So he sent an army to go kill the monkey. First he said, tell the guards. And the guards came with spears. And Hanuman just took his tail and just went, and that was the end of the guards. So then they told Hanuman, they told Ravana, the guards are finished. So he sent army, and the whole army was finished. And then he sent one of his own sons, one of his great generals, to come, and he was killed. And soon the whole Sri Lanka was just in complete disarray because a monkey was destroying everybody. So Ravana took it very serious and sent his eldest son, who was the most powerful warrior of the whole Rakshasa dynasty. His name was Indrajit, who conquered Indra. And he came, and there was a very good war with Hanuman. But Hanuman was thinking, I want to meet Ravana face to face. So he allowed himself to be tied up by a snake rope that was sent with mantra by Indrajit. He was tied up, and then he was dragged to Ravana's court. And Ravana challenged, who are you? Why have you done this? He said, I am Hanuman, the servant of Ram, and I have come to give you a message. Live peacefully and happily in Sri Lanka and allow Sita return to Ram. But if you do not, you will be destroyed by the Supreme Lord. He has come to this world to kill the Asuras. Why are you such a coward? Why don't you face Ram in combat today? Why do you disguise yourself and steal his wife? Hanuman was really insulting Ravana. And Ravana became outraged. Kill this monkey! Kill this monkey immediately! And Vibhishan, Ram's little brother, he said, according to the codes of a Kshatriya, you do not kill an unarmed messenger. You could punish him, but you cannot kill him. So Ravana, in a fury of anger, he declared, monkeys are very attached and proud of their tails. Now, amongst ordinary monkeys, this is very true. Have you ever examined monkeys? The psychology of monkeys? I did that once. I did a psychological study of monkeys when I was living in Himalayas. Because I was thinking that if I study animals, I could learn so much about humans. Because they don't have so much false ego. You know, what's inside is out. They have egos, but it's very simple and straightforward. It's not so complicated. So really, I learned so much about human nature from monkeys. And one thing about monkeys is they are really proud of their tails. So, Ravana considered Hanuman an ordinary monkey. He said, light his tail on fire. Hanuman is trapped. He cannot move. He's in the snake ropes. So they wrapped his tail up with all kinds of cloth gauzes. And then they dipped it in highly flammable oil and lit it on fire. And Hanumanji, as his tail was burning, he began to laugh very loud. And then he expanded himself. And all the ropes broke to pieces. Then Hanuman took a big sigh. And he spoke a very good lesson to Ravana. I am the messenger of Ram. See what I will do now. And then he jumped on top of a palace and touched it with his burning tail, and the whole palace blazed in fire. Then he jumped to the roof of the next palace, and that went on fire, and to the next, and to the next, and to the next, and to the next. And all night, all day long, he was just lighting one building after another on blazing fire. And all the while, he was just screaming the glories and the names of Ram. Meanwhile, some of the Rakshashis told Sita exactly what was happening. And Sita closed her eyes, and with such devotion in her heart, she prayed to Agnidev, the god of fire, to make Hanuman's, although his tail was on fire, that he would feel that fire as very cool, soothing sensation. So here's Hanuman jumping throughout Lanka, lighting it all on fire. And he's feeling his tail very cool. And Hanuman could understand very clearly that this was because of the prayer and blessing of Sita Devi. And with tears of gratitude in his eyes, he remembered her. And that further enthused him to do the work of Ram. When he saw the whole city of Lanka burning, he cried out in a voice in which Ravana and everyone of Lanka could hear. He did not need a sound system like me. He cried out. He said, Ravana, he said, I am just the insignificant servant of Ram. Wait till Ram comes himself to destroy you. Then he jumped in the ocean and put his tail out of fire and then jumped back to the other side of the ocean. He immediately went to Kishkindha Kshetra. He went to the Malyavanta. Actually, first he went to a place called Madhuban in Kishkindha. And there Sugriva, that was Sugriva's favorite garden, the king of the monkeys. And Hanuman told them all about the incredible episode of and leelas that he had in Sri Lanka. I met Sita. I burnt the city down. I gave Sita the message of Ram, and she's very happy waiting for Ram. And all the monkeys were so happy to celebrate Hanuman's great victory. They all had a festival, and they were dancing, and they were singing, and they were jumping, and in their dancing, and they were so intoxicated by Hanuman's success that they were just tearing to pieces the whole forest of Madhuban. And Sugriva came running to the place, and he saw that his garden was being destroyed. He became very angry. But then Hanuman told him the news, and he became transcendental. Then Hanuman went to see Ram. And when he came before Ram and explained everything, Sri Ramchandra was so very happy with Hanuman's devotional service that he personally embraced Hanumanji. Embraced Hanumanji with such deep ecstatic love. That was the ultimate perfection of Hanuman's life, that he pleased the Supreme Personality of Godhead and found himself in his loving embrace. That is the perfection of life. Samsiddhir Haritoshanam. When we please the Lord by our sincere efforts, there is no greater perfection than that. Nadanamna janamna sundarim kavitam vajagadisha kamaye mama janamani janamanishwari bhavata bhakti rohaita kitvai. My Lord, I do not want wealth. I do not want beautiful company of opposite sex. I do not want to become a great scholar or poet. I do not want followers, disciples, fame or recognition. I do not even want liberation from the sufferings of this world. I only want in every consecutive birth unconditional loving service to you. And what is service? The determination, the enthusiasm, and the sincerity to please the Lord. Hanuman personified this principle. All that he did, jumping across ocean, crossing over all obstacles, fighting against Ravana, endangering his very life in every way, it all fructified in ultimate success when the Lord embraced him, when the Lord accepted his service with a heart that was pleased. Yes, that is the aspiration of a Vaishnava. To please the Lord, to please Guru, to please the Vaishnavas. I thank you very much. That is the real meaning of Hanuman Jayanti. To understand the spirit of surrender and service of Hanuman. And now we will hear the essence of all knowledge from Bhakti Vigyan Goswami Maharaj. Huh? I warned you. You told me to speak, and because Hanuman was always trying to do extra service, I also tried to do some extra service. Unfortunately, there's not enough insects here to keep everyone away.
So, I'll just tell a little story. Tulsidas in his Ramayana, he says that the inner meaning of Ramayana is to show the power of the holy name. Tulsidas says that by the power of the holy name, the rocks were floating in the river and in the ocean. By the power of the holy name, Hanuman was lifting the big mountains. By the power of the holy name, Sita remained chaste because she was constantly chanting the holy name. And by the power of the holy name, Bharata remained alive. For 14 years, Bharata was waiting for Lord Ram. And the only power which sustained his life was coming from the holy name. So, Tulsidas says that this is the whole essence of Ramayana. To show that whatever we need in this life, we can get from the holy name. We can get the strength to overcome the obstacles. We can get the wealth. We can get the chastity. Everything we can get from the holy name. And if we understand this, we understand Ramayana. And of course, Maharaj told that Hanuman is the manifestation of this serving spirit. Because it is not enough just to chant the holy name. To get everything from the holy name, you have to chant the holy name in a proper mood. Because if there is no mood of service, humility and surrender, then the holy name will not work. The holy name is all-powerful, but as Haridas Thakur explains in Harinam Chintamani, the holy name will withdraw its power if there is no proper mood in the chanting. So Hanuman exemplifies is a manifestation of this chanting of the holy name in a proper mood. He is the manifestation of this Dasya Ras, or serving mood to the Supreme Lord. And when the mood is there, this mood is saturating the heart, and the holy name reveals himself by this proper mood of the chanting. So there is a little story in, I believe, in Padma Puran about Hanuman, which shows how Hanuman, by chanting the holy name, could conquer Lord Shiva. It's interesting because Hanuman is the manifestation of Shiva Shakti. He is the Shakti Avesha Avatar of Lord Shiva. The whole Shakti, or not even the whole Shakti, just part of the Shakti of Lord Shiva is invested in Hanuman. But in this story, he conquered over Lord Shiva. How is that possible that part of the Shakti, energy of Lord Shiva, could conquer the source of this Shakti? So the story goes like this. Then when Lord Ram was performing his Ashwamedha Yagya, he sent his horse. And behind the horse, as it was a custom for Ashwamedha Yagya, there was the army of Lord Ram. And the general who was leading this army was Shatrughna. And usually when the horse would come to a kingdom, the king would immediately fold his hands and say, "I surrender to Lord Ram. Here is my wealth. Here is my kingdom. I am his servant." So Shatrughna, he didn't really have too much to do. You know, he was just following the horse and accepting the wealth from all the kingdoms. But at one point, the horse came to a little kingdom, which was the kingdom of the king Viramala. So, and this king was the devotee of Lord Shiva. He was such a great devotee of Lord Shiva that Lord Shiva would personally appear in front of him. And Lord Shiva would give him benediction, and he would say to him, "You know, whatever you ask, I will do. You are such a great devotee that I will do whatever you ask me to do." And he gave him the benediction that you will be invincible. So this little king is not very powerful. He started fighting with this whole army of Shatrughna. And Shatrughna was taken unexpectedly. And moreover, he defeated the whole army. The whole army all of a sudden was dead, and Shatrughna found himself in the middle of this, you know, bloody battle, and this king, you know, eradicated the whole army, and Shatrughna became really ashamed. But at the end, at the back of the army, Hanuman was walking. And he was, you know, chanting Ram, 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 and he was intoxicated by this holy name. But then Shatrughna told him, "You know, what are you doing chanting? Don't you see that your master is defeated? The army of your master is totally defeated now, and it's laying dead there." And Hanuman, he became very enlivened by this. So he entered the battle, and he started fighting with this king. And this king was totally convinced that he will be the victorious over Hanuman. And Hanuman was, of course, totally convinced that he will be victorious. And lo and behold, very soon this king was totally defeated. And king became offended. He ran to Lord Shiva. He started praying to Lord Shiva. And he said, "How come I am defeated? You promised to me, you gave me this benediction that nobody will defeat me. And one monkey defeated me. What is that?" And Lord Shiva, he became really agitated, you know, because Lord Shiva is Ashutosh. It's very easy to please Lord Shiva, but it's also very easy to displease him. And Lord Shiva, this Viramala, he really agitated him. He said, "You go and you fight with this guy, and we'll see." So Lord Shiva started fighting with Hanuman, and Hanuman is there, and Lord Shiva is there, and Hanuman is just, you know, fighting with him. Lord Shiva, in the beginning, he was very, you know, hopeful. But very soon, Hanuman totally defeated Lord Shiva. And in the beginning, Lord Shiva couldn't understand how it's going on. Why? Because he's more powerful. But then he heard that while fighting, Hanuman is chanting, "Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare." He was constantly chanting, "Ram, Ram, 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 Ram." And then Lord Shiva understood. And he surrendered to Hanuman. He said, "You defeated me, my dear friend." And he went to this Viramala and he said, "You know, he defeated me. No wonder he defeated you." Viramala said, "How come? How come he defeated you?" He said, "Because he was chanting the holy name. Therefore, he defeated me. There couldn't be otherwise. You know, he defeated me because he chanted the holy name." And then Viramala, he became a little pacified. And then Hanuman said, "You know, anyway, you know, so many people are dead now because of this war. And I want to revive them. I want to go to Sanjeevani, to Himalayas, and bring some Sanjeevani here. Could you please guard all these people?" He asked Lord Shiva please guard, I will be back soon, you know, I will fly back and forth, and, you know, because Hanuman, as Maharaj said, is the greatest physician. And then Lord Shiva, he smiled. This whole Leela is to prove the power of the holy name. And then Lord Shiva, he smiled and he said, my dear Hanuman, why do you need to go to Himalayas? Why do you need to bring this herb to revive all these people? You conquered over me by chanting the holy name. Why can't you revive all these people just by chanting the holy name on their ears? And Hanuman became really ashamed. He said, yes, I must be an atheist. I don't believe in the power of the holy name. Thank you. So Hanuman, he started running all over the place and chanting this holy name on the ears of all these people who were lying dead. And all of a sudden they were jumping up and saying, Ram, Ram, Ram. So this whole story is to show that if the holy name is chanted in a proper mood, and if the holy name is invested with this proper mood of surrender and service, then the holy name can give you everything. The holy name can give you strength, can give you chastity, wealth, everything which you need. But the secret of this is to chant the holy name properly, in a very pure heart. Then the holy name will work. And as Tulsidas says, this is the essence of Ramayana. Okay, thank you very much.
Srila Prabhupada ki.